Good morning, Boulder Creek Community Church. My name is Adam, one of the pastors here. If you happen to be listening in, maybe for the first time or you're new, I just want you to know how sorry I am and how much our hearts grieve with you and for you, especially those of you who have gotten the news that you have lost your home and perhaps everything else that you own, other than the few things you were able to get out on short notice. And I just want you to know that we are praying for you and that we are here for you as well. I've heard a phrase over and over, or I've seen it on Facebook over and over, Boulder Creek Strong. And I believe that. And I love the fact that the people of Boulder Creek community are resilient, are tough-minded, and really have a deep, abiding belief that we will get through this, but not alone. We will get through this together. And so if you're new to Boulder Creek Community Church, I want you to know that you're welcome as you are. We don't have expectations that you have it all together because we don't. In fact, you don't even have to believe what we believe. You can actually belong to our community before you come to believe the things that we have come to believe. We welcome you as you are, not as you ought to be. And our ultimate hope is that you would come to know the incredible and amazing love that God has for you. In fact, I want you to know, fundamentally and foundationally, God is for you, not against you. Despite what you may have heard or what you believe or what you've experienced, or maybe you come from a bad church experience, maybe you abandoned church or God long ago, but recent events has kind of piqued in you a new interest of faith and of God. And I want you to know that when Jesus went to the cross, he demonstrated his love for you as you are, not as you ought to be. Now, when he comes into your life, when you by faith receive the gift of salvation that Jesus offers you, I want you to know that he begins a work in you to change and transform and conform you to be the person that ultimately you want to be. But you can't on your own. And so this morning I want to give you a short message that I am calling In the Fire, But Not Alone. In the Fire, But Not Alone. And so I'd like to say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person that has taken time to tune in to this message today. Whether they have been a believer and a follower of Jesus for many, many years, or maybe they are brand new, checking things out, asking questions, working through doubts, wherever they may be, God, I pray that you would speak to each person, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds and help us to receive what you have for us today in Jesus' name. So I couldn't help but last couple days go to an Old Testament story. In fact, it's a story that occurred over 2,600 years ago. It's a well-known story, and perhaps even if you have never picked up a Bible, you have heard about Daniel. Although this story is not about Daniel himself, but it's about his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this comes at a point in Israel's history where the people of Israel had just seen their homes burnt to the ground, and they'd even seen their beloved temple burned to the ground. Now, the temple was far different to the Jews than a church might be to us in modern times. The temple was the representation of God in his presence with and for the people of Israel. And so imagine when that temple burned down, what it said to the people who believed in God. It was a feeling of God having gone, having abandoned them, having jumped ship. And not only that, about 10,000 of elite, royal, educated Jews were then transported about 500 miles from their now depleted homes to a new city, to a new country, in service of a new king. And that new king was a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. He was the most powerful man on earth at that time. And like a lot of powerful people, and I could name a few today, I won't, but something about power and what it can do to the human psyche. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar decided that he would build a 90-foot statue of himself. It was inlaid entirely of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, for some reason, had a fascination with gold. And then he proclaimed a decree that at the playing of music, that every person from every country that he had overcome and brought into this area called Babylon would then have to bow down and give homage to this statue. It was a way of worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. He had a god complex, and there was a common belief in those days that if you were a king, if you were on the top of the food chain, that you were somehow deified, that the gods had placed you in that position. In fact, you had the authority and the power of a god. And so certainly you deserved the worship of everyone else. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. But there's these three guys. Daniel's not mentioned in this story. We don't know where he is. But his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decide that they are not going to pay homage to King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me read the story for you in Daniel chapter 3. I'm actually going to pick it up kind of midway through the story in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar is furious, and he's furious because some of his officials came to him and told him that these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow to the statue at the playing of the music. And so when he finds out, it says that he is furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar then summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" Now, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar liked these guys. They had influence in his court. They were faithful, hardworking, diligent young men that brought a lot of value to King Nebuchadnezzar and his court. But he is ticked at them right now. "Is it true that you did not serve my gods and worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn," he's going to give him a second chance, "when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, it is a rock fest. If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" God loves a challenge, doesn't he? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. And I want you to pay special attention to their response. They're not rude. They're not arrogant. They're actually very humble. But in their humility, they show tremendous strength and courage and faith under pressure. King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it." Now notice they have faith that God can deliver them, but they are not presumptuous. Faith is never presumption. "And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not," notice the humility that they have here, "even if God does not deliver us from the fire, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." And then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He's just getting angrier and angrier by the minute. And so his attitude changed toward them. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers of his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. And the king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire actually killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to the fire. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And then they replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." And he said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was not even the smell of fire on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, his messenger, to rescue his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," man, talk about turning on a dime, "may they be cut into pieces and their houses be burned into piles of rubber, for no other God can save in this way." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is such a beautiful story. It reminds me of Finn in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. He refuses to go along with everyone else. He actually puts his life, his own life, at risk, and he fights for the truth, and he fights for freedom. And you see the same thing when even a student, a high school student, decides, "No, I'm not going to cheat on the test. Everyone else has a copy. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to have integrity. I'm going to be honest." Or the employer or employee who decides, "I'm not going to lie just to get a sale, just to get ahead." There's something so beautiful about what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. They are thrown into the fire, but even in the midst of the fire, they are not alone. This is a beautiful, beautiful story. And so in the brief moments that we have, and I want to thank you for hanging in there and listening to this message, but hang tight. I think you'll find this hopeful and helpful to your faith, wherever your faith is at today. But I want to share two things with you. I want to answer the question, how do we handle the fiery furnace? How do we handle life when we face pain and difficulty and loss? And then secondly, how can I grow stronger in my faith? How can I allow the things that happen to me that are out of my control, how can those things actually make me stronger? Not just a stronger person, but how can they strengthen my faith? And so the first thing, how do we handle the fiery furnace? When Nebuchadnezzar hears that they will not bow to his idol, he flips out. He goes into a rage. He has it heated 7 times hotter. They're thrown in. And don't miss the irony here. Don't miss the irony. Those who were loyal to Nebuchadnezzar, those who actually bowed to the idol, were burned up. See, there's always a price to pay for faithfulness. There's always a price to pay for faithfulness. But there's also a price to pay for unfaithfulness. Let me share 3 things with you about walking through the fire. When you're facing difficulty, when you're facing loss, when you're facing hardship, 3 things to remember. Don't be surprised. Don't get caught off guard. See, for Christians, the furnace or fire has become a metaphor for suffering. Walking through the fire, we use that metaphor today. And if you live long enough and you experience enough, you will experience enough suffering. But we should not be surprised. I've shared this scripture before. If you're not new listening to this, in fact, just this last week, I shared these next couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that has come upon you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. You know, one of the common beliefs in our culture today is the belief of karma. Now, in a micro sense, you know, yeah, I can buy into, you know, when you do good, sometimes good comes back to you. When you do bad, sometimes bad comes back to you. That's not against what the scriptures teach. But in a macro sense, think about it. If you're listening to this right now, or you have a loved one who has lost their home, what does karma do for you now? If you buy into karma, then you have to buy into the belief that you have been a bad person, that you've done something wrong, and you are only getting what you deserve. It's one of the reasons I can't buy in fully to the belief of karma. And so we must not be surprised. The Christian understands and is not caught off guard and is not surprised. In fact, the Christian expects that if they are faithful to God, there will be difficulty that comes our way. But secondly, the fire has also come to mean something, though difficult, that makes us stronger. 1 Peter says this, in all this you greatly rejoice. In all this, in all the pain, in all the suffering, in walking through the fire, in all this we greatly rejoice. Though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. See, the Christian understands that fiery trials are opportunities to make us stronger. Opportunities to make us stronger. See, fire is to gold what suffering is to faith. Fire is to gold what suffering is to faith. In other words, character is built and forged through fire. Johnny Erickson Tada, and some of you have heard me quote this before, it's become one of my favorite quotes and maybe one of the most relevant quotes for us today. She said this, "Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves." Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. God does not love suffering, not even the suffering of guilty people. God takes no pleasure in the death of sinners even. But sometimes God allows what he hates so that he can accomplish what he loves. And then she goes on and she says, we will stand amazed. One day we will stand amazed to see the top side of the tapestry. In other words, we only see the bottom side now. We don't see the finished product of how God beautifully embroidered each circumstance into a pattern for our good and for his glory. See, modern Americans are the only people, perhaps in history, that we are absolutely caught off guard and surprised by pain and by suffering. We live with a basic, simplistic view of life. And that is, suffering is bad and is to be avoided at all costs. And when we do suffer, we're surprised. And sometimes the pain of being surprised is worse than the actual suffering because we're caught off guard. And then we become embittered, angry, despondent, or even cynical. See, we might be tempted to ask, why would God allow this to happen to me? Isn't God supposed to keep me safe? Why am I suffering? You know, I was a brand new Christian maybe 21, 22 years old. I had just invested almost all of my savings, about $700, into a 67 Volkswagen Bug. Man, I loved that Volkswagen Bug. And I only had it for about 4 days, and I was driving from Cherry Avenue in San Jose to Los Gatos Christian Church. I was going to a prayer meeting. Come on. I mean, isn't that a good thing? And on my way to that prayer meeting, I went through a stop sign, and all of a sudden my car just died. And I coasted to the curb and I stopped and I turned the key. Nothing. I turned it again. I was pumping the gas. And all of a sudden I heard this whoosh. And I look in my rear view mirror and flames are enveloping the back window of my brand new to me 67 Volkswagen Bug. Long story short, I actually got that bug working again, but it radically challenged my assumption that if I'm good, good things will happen to me. It radically challenged my basic assumption that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. It was a beautiful lesson to learn. It was hard because it wasn't a house. I grant you that. But I could have put everything I owned in that Volkswagen Bug. And for me, it was like losing almost everything. And so we might be tempted to ask the wrong question when we're experiencing loss and pain and suffering. The question is not, why is this happening to me? The question is, God, what do you want to do in me? How can you make my faith stronger through this experience? Jesus, you can make my faith like gold. And so the third thing that the Christian understands when it comes to pain and suffering and walking through the fire is that we also know that God allows pain as a form of discipline or purging in our lives. Now understand, this is not payback. Okay, that's what karma says. It's what a lot of religions believe. When bad things happen to us, it is not God paying us back. Rather, it is God wanting to bring us back. Every good parent understands how important discipline is. Good, healthy, loving discipline. We never discipline our kids to get even or for payback. But we do discipline our kids because we love them and we want to bring them back. We want to protect them from pain that is destructive in their lives. And the Bible is very clear when it comes to God's love. He disciplines those whom he loves. And so the fiery furnace that you are walking through right now, don't be surprised. Recognize that it may be something that God wants to use to strengthen your faith, but it also may be something that God wants to do to correct your faith. Not to get even, not for payback, but to bring you back. Maybe you've been wandering. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've put other things above your faith in God. And maybe those are good things. Your job, marriage, kids, grandkids. All those things are good in and of themselves. But maybe you have wandered from the priority of faith in God. And so finally, how do we grow in our faith? If the fiery furnace is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith, how do we do that? And the answer is simple, but it's not easy. See, the truth is you'll never really know how strong your faith is until it's been tested. Let me say that again. You'll never really know how strong your faith is until it's been tested. See, it also provides an opportunity for us to grow. But not everyone who suffers grows. In fact, many are broken, many lose faith, and many, many abandon faith because of the pain and the problems that they face. But see, Christians know that even if God does not protect them from the fire, that He walks through the fire with us. And that's exactly what we see in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have no idea what God's going to do. They're not presumptuous. They don't know if God is going to save them. But what they came to find is that God doesn't always save them from the fire, but He saves them in the fire. And He walks through the fire with them. And Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely stunned. He's shocked. And he's shocked by two things. He's shocked that not only are there three guys still alive, but secondly, he's shocked that he sees a fourth that he calls like the son of a god or the son of the gods. Now, theologians have debated over what this meant. Some have called it an angel. Some have called it a theophany. A theophany is essentially Christ appearing in human flesh before His birth, which would come a couple, well, 1,000 or so years later than this actual event. But it doesn't really matter. The scholars will debate this for centuries to come. But the fact is, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the fourth person was either God or from the gods, the Most High God. In fact, he calls them the Most High God, distinguishing Yahweh, the God of Israel, above all other gods, even his own gods. And the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer Nebuchadnezzar shows us why their faith is so strong. See, they loved God for who He is, not just what He could do for them. They didn't view God as some divine vending machine, that if they plug in the right coins and push the right buttons, that God will beckon their every call. See, you want to be loved for who you are. You don't want to be loved for your money. You don't want to be loved for your looks, because both may fade or go away. Ultimately, you want to be loved for who you are. And that is the same with God. He wants us to love Him for who He is, not just what He can do for us. So their faith was so beautiful, so deep, and so rich. They really didn't know what God would do until they were actually thrown into the fire. And that's when they discovered that God was not only with them, but that God was for them. And like I said, they came to see that sometimes God protects us from the fire, or doesn't protect us from the fire, but He does walk through the fire with us. Isaiah chapter 43, beautiful verse. In verse 2 and 3, it says this: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, says God. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now, God may not have saved your home, but He will save you, because the most valuable thing in God's eyes is you and your faith. And in the same way, when you believe that your house might catch on fire and you had a very short time to get out of town, you grabbed that which was most valuable to you. And the thing that is most valuable to God is your life, your faith, and He will never let that be destroyed. So how do you grow in your faith? Like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy. I have a chair time every morning. I try to take at least 10 minutes, read a little scripture, pray, and write three things that I am grateful for. Maybe this moment is an opportunity for you to reset some things in your life. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to develop a new habit or come back to an old habit where on a regular basis You sit down, 10 minutes. If you're not used to this, 5 minutes. Any little bit counts as you develop a new habit. There's never a better time to start a new habit than right now. And so determine right now that you will create your own chair time. And that you will maybe read a psalm or a proverb or even a verse. You'll pray, you'll think or write down some things that you are thankful for. And over time, if you are consistent and persistent with this new habit, you will see tremendous growth develop in your life. But then also I want you to look at the cross. It's a beautiful cross right behind me. For those of you who don't know where I am at Santa Cruz Bible Church. They have graciously allowed us to use this space. And I'm in what is called the prayer room. And this cross, which was a symbol of death and destruction and judgment by the Roman Empire, has become, for the follower of Jesus, a symbol of love. The greatest love that the world has ever known or ever seen. Talk about suffering. Talk about walking through the fire. The cross reminds us that God is for you. And some of you need to hear that today. In the midst of tremendous loss, you need to hear that God is for you. And He knows all about you, and yet He is still for you. And He has demonstrated that reality by dying on the cross. See, Jesus looked at you and thought to Himself, you're worth it. All the pain and the suffering that He went through on the cross, He did it for you because He thought you were worth it. And so as you face pain, as you face fiery trials, is your faithfulness worth it to God? See, you can't look at Him and stay the same. He's worth it. He's whatever faithfulness may cost you or me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being a God who doesn't hold all of our faults, all of our sins, all of our wrongs against us. But thank you for being a God who walked through the fire for us, who stands in the fire with us, and who demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, You died on the cross for us. You didn't wait till we got our act together, because we can't. But You loved us as we are, not as we ought to be. And I thank You, God, that You will use all of the fiery trials that we go through in this life. You will use them for our good and for Your glory. You will build strength, and You will build courage, and You will build poise. And even in the midst of fiery trials, You will provide peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And that peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God, thank You so much. Help us to just take the next step in our faith journey, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions, if you need prayer, if you want to talk. Please, we are here and available for you. We love you all. Boulder Creek strong. We will rebuild, and we'll rebuild together. God bless you all.